Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning we're starting a two-week series, All for Jesus. Amen. And it is our annual Missions Week. And always in October, we do an emphasis on missions to remind us what God has called us to do and to be. Amen. And so this is our Missions Week. Our Assembly of God theme for this year is All for Jesus. You know, several years ago, we had a missionary couple who ministered here and shared their story. Unfortunately, I don't remember their name, but I certainly remember their story. They shared that when they were a young couple, they responded to an altar call as a missionary speaker led them in prayer to commit themselves to Christ in any way that he would choose to use them. And the words that the missionary speaker led them to pray was to say, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord. So they responded to that altar call, they prayed that prayer, and soon after that altar call, they began sensing the Lord calling them to missions. And they said in response, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord. So they went to Bible college to prepare themselves to go to the mission field. Shortly after Bible college, the Lord called them to go to South America. And in response, they proclaimed, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord. At the airport, as they prepared to leave family and friends and home behind, they said, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord, with tears running down their eyes. They arrived in a country, and unfortunately, I don't remember which country in South America, and they were led up to the mountains to a small village and a hut with dirt floors that would be their home. It was hard. And they felt so downcast, but they said, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord. They stayed for years and ministered. They had kids. They raised their kids on the mission field. And the kids grew up. And it came time for the kids to return to the United States to go to college and take their career path. As they stood at the airport, embracing and kissing their kids and telling them goodbye with heavy hearts, they said, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord. And they stayed to continue ministering. Years later, they would receive news that their son had been killed in a car accident. They were devastated, and they said it felt like their heart was being ripped out of their chest. And even though they felt they couldn't go on, they heard a gentle voice of the Spirit reminding them, anytime, anywhere, anything, Lord. And they again said, yes, Lord, anytime, anywhere, anything for you. And they continued to minister. Their story has stuck with me for over 20 years because they are truly an amazing living example of all for Jesus. All for Jesus. And that, as I said, is the theme of our missions emphasis this week. It's based on Paul's words in Galatians 2:20, where he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, you know, we don't generally associate this verse with missions, but Jesus is the greatest missionary of all time, isn't he? He left heaven and came to earth. He lived his life to preach the good news of God's favor, to heal the sick and to set free the oppressed. And then he gave his life for the sins of the world, for your sins and mine, that everyone, everywhere, in every age can be saved. And being saved is not just adding religion to our life or even adding Christ to our lives. It is a complete union, a complete joining of our life together with Christ. It is a complete identification with Christ. By faith, our life is completely united together with him in his death. Paul said, my old self is crucified with Christ, and then we are by his Spirit united together with him in his resurrection. We are raised in newness of life. He is living in us, so that Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that's not just something that happens spiritually. It affects how we live every moment of every day. And that's what Paul refers to when he says, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was saying, my life now completely belongs to Christ. You see, being a Christian is about being fully surrendered to Christ so that Christ can live in us and through us, so that Christ can live in us and through us. So being saved is about more than having our sins forgiven and going to heaven when we die. It's about Christ living in us and through us while we are here on earth. We are not only saved from our sins, we are saved for a purpose. We are saved to fulfill the work of Christ, the mission of Christ here on earth. When we are saved, we have the greatest missionary of all time living in us and through us. He gave his life to save us from our sin, and being saved is about giving our all for him, and that means giving our all for his mission. You see, we give our all for Jesus because he gave his all for us. We live for Jesus because he died for us. When we truly realize what Jesus has done for us, the only appropriate response is to give ourselves completely to him. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place on the cross. He endured the punishment that we deserve. So that now, when we repent of our sins and place our faith in him, we're forgiven. Our sins are washed away. We are cleansed and we are saved from the eternal fires of hell. We are made righteous through Christ. And that means we can now have a relationship with God. That's one of the greatest blessings of salvation, is that we can be a child of God, that we can have a relationship with him, amen? And of course, that we can eventually claim heaven as our eternal home. But all of this is an act of God's grace. It is the free gift of God, this ultimate gift of salvation through his son, Jesus. Jesus gave his all for us, and in return, we should give him no less than our all. In Romans 12, 1, Paul says it this way, speaking to those who have been saved, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. So he's saying, you know, not just your heart, not just your inner man, but giving yourself to Christ has to affect the way you live. He says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. See, what Paul is saying is our worship is not just about coming to church on Sunday and singing some songs with our hands upraised. It's not just about cranking the Christian music when we're home and just singing and worshiping God. No, it's about the way we live the entirety of our lives. Christ died as a sacrifice for us, and now the only fitting way to honor all that he has done for us is to live our lives as a living sacrifice for him. You know, even in the Old Testament, as the sacrifices were placed on the altar, they were consumed by fire. And offering our lives as a living sacrifice means to be totally consumed by him. It's giving him all that we are and all that we have. And this was a truth that Paul lived when in Philippians 1:21 he says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Christ was not just an addition to Paul's life. Christ became his entire life. He had picked up the cross, died to self, and now he said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus said that we can't follow him unless we die to self. Unless we die to self. The classic Christian author C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, writes, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. No half measures are any good. Hand over your whole self. I will give you a new self instead. I will give you myself. My own life will become yours. Hallelujah. I think the songwriter captured it well in the words of the old song, Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and all I have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. Jesus, all for Jesus. Jesus gave his all for us. Are we giving our all for him? Just think about that for a moment. Are you just giving him half measures, pieces of your life, moments of your time? Or are you giving your all for Jesus? It's awful quiet in here, but that's okay. Martha Tennyson always says, you don't speak much when you're undergoing surgery. Amen. And how do we give our all for Jesus? How do we live for Jesus? We live for Jesus by living out his mission. By faith, we die to self and we live for him because he loved us and gave himself for us. But he didn't only give himself for us. He loves all the people of the world and he gave his life that they too might be saved. Going back to Paul's own testimony, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But he went on to say, if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. In essence, Paul says, the entirety of my life is Christ. And living means doing the work for Christ until he takes me home to be with him. We can't say that we are living for Christ if we are not doing the work of Christ. I just want to let that settle in. We can't say that we are living for Christ unless we are doing the work of Christ. So what exactly is the work of Christ? Luke 19:10 says, he came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. And if he's living in us and he is our life, then guess what? It will be our mission as well. It was the last commandment he gave to his church, to his followers. We refer to it as the Great Commission. He said something like this in all four of the Gospels and the book of Acts. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people, making disciples of all nations. That is our mission. But it's not enough just to know the Great Commission. We must fulfill the Great Commission. And that comes down to two questions. Are you sharing your faith locally with everybody that you can? I love the little meme Pastor Tony was referring to earlier on National Coffee Day, which says, you know, it's good to share a cup of coffee with somebody, but it's even better to share Jesus. So are we sharing Jesus? Are we sharing Jesus? Are we sharing our faith locally? That's question number one. And are you supporting missions globally? Because we're called to reach the world. That means here, where we are, and all around the world. So let me ask you some more probing questions. When was the last time you shared your faith with somebody locally, at your job, in your neighborhood, in the grocery store, in your family? When was the last time? And when was the last time you led someone to Christ? I hope nobody's saying, well, let me think. It was the year 1971. I hope it's fresh in your memory because it happened recently, amen, because that means you're living on mission. So when was the last time you shared your faith and led someone to Christ? And how much are you praying? And how much are you giving to support missions around the world? Our answer to those two questions will reveal whether or not Christ is living in us and whether or not we're living missionally. Because if Christ is living in us, we will be living missionally. Sure is awful quiet this morning. I don't know if the storm just shook you up so much that you don't have any energy to respond. But if Christ is living in us, we will be living missionally. We give our all for Jesus because he gave his all for us. But we also give our all for Jesus because all people need Jesus. All people are lost without Christ. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. He's talking to us. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, turn to your neighbor and say, all of us. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, all of us. All of us used to live that way. Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Basically, he's saying we deserved God's judgment just like everybody else. Look at the phrases in this verse. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Be very careful when you judge a sinner for their sin, because you were once in that state. You used to live in sin like the rest of the world. Then he goes on to say, all of you used to live that way. And all of us were deserving of God's anger, just like everyone else. And Paul makes it clear that we were once in that state, but by the grace of God, hallelujah, somebody shared Christ with us. Aren't you grateful that somebody cared enough to tell you about Jesus? And because of them, you are here today saved and you know you're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. But there's a whole bunch of people who have not yet heard about Jesus. Paul makes it clear that the whole world apart from Christ is lost in sin. They are under the power of the devil and destined for the judgment of God. But he goes on to explain that because of Christ's death and resurrection, we have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say in verse 12 that apart from Christ, the world is without hope. Without God. And we were all once in that position. At one time, we were all lost, but by the grace of God, someone gave their life. They gave of their time, they gave of their prayers, they gave of their effort to tell us that Jesus loved us and he died for us and that we could be forgiven, we could be saved, and we could have hope. Hallelujah. But we need to be reminded that Christ died not only for us, but he died that all might be saved. That all might be saved. God desires that all people would come to salvation. In fact, in 2 Peter 3:9, he tells us that the only thing that is keeping Jesus Christ from coming back and from God judging the world, the only thing that's keeping back the end time calendar of events, is that God is patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is waiting for that last person who will give their heart to Christ to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus, and then the trumpet will sound. And the end time calendar of events will unfold. That means there is not one person anywhere on earth of any nationality or any lifestyle that God does not want to save. He is not willing that any should perish. You know, there's a commercial on TV that is for safe driving, and it says, how many acceptable car deaths or vehicular deaths are acceptable? And they're asking this guy, and he says, I don't know, 50? And then all of a sudden, you know, his friends and his family start to walk up, and then he realizes, no, none are acceptable. God is not willing that any perish. How many are you willing to allow to perish? How many are you willing to allow to perish? If God wants all people to be saved, we should want all people to be saved as well. Certainly, we should be burdened for our family members, our sons, our daughters, our husbands, our cousins, our nieces, our grandchildren, our friends, our co-workers. It shouldn't be acceptable for us that any of them be lost without at least having heard the gospel. All people need to hear the gospel so that they might be saved. Do you know how much the world population is right now? It's approximately 7.75 billion. So 7.75 billion people in the world. Do you know how many of them, I'm not talking about just how many of them are unsaved. I'm talking about how many of them have never heard the gospel. Almost 3.25 billion people have never heard the gospel. They have no access to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the number that are unsaved is much higher than that. It's about half of the world's population, more than that. But 41% of all the people in the world have never heard that Jesus loves them and that he died for their sins. They've never heard that their sins can be forgiven, that they can have a relationship with God, that they can claim heaven as their eternal home. It means that because they have never heard the gospel, they are doomed to an eternity of damnation. But as Paul tells us in Romans 10, 13 through 17, they cannot be saved unless they believe in Jesus. Folks, there's no plan B. Now, I was raised in a religion where, you know, if you weren't too bad, you could go to this special place called purgatory. And then over time, if enough people prayed for you here on earth or gave enough money or did some good deeds for you, then over time, you could be released from purgatory and you could go to heaven. That's not Bible. The Bible tells us there is no plan B. You cannot be saved unless you believe in Jesus. And Paul goes on, and they cannot believe if they do not hear. That's where we come in. And they cannot hear if somebody does not tell. If somebody does not tell them, are you telling them? Are you making sure that those around the world can hear? He goes on to say, and how will anyone go and tell them unless they are sent? Unless they are sent. Well, Jesus has sent us. He sent every believer. He sent his church, all who have been saved, to go and preach the gospel. We are the sent ones. He has sent us into the world to preach the good news to every person. As we said, that's the Great Commission. I love what I saw written on one church's website. It said, our first priority is his last commandment, the Great Commission. Our first priority is his last commandment, the Great Commission. When we live for ourselves, all we're concerned about is, you know, going to work, getting a better job, making a living, buying a house, having a family, when we live for ourselves. But when, as Paul describes, our life has been crucified with Christ, we no longer live for self. We belong to him, and he lives in us, and he lives through us. And if he is living through us, then his mission will be our first priority as well. Christ has given us life, and he is our life, and if he's indeed living through us, he will empower us to live as he lived and to do what he did. And he lived on mission. The Bible says he went everywhere, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, setting free those that were oppressed. And then he went to the cross and he gave himself freely so that we might all be saved. When he lives through us, we will go everywhere preaching the gospel, supernaturally ministering healing and deliverance by the power of the Holy Spirit, and giving our all so that all might be saved. We are called to go and preach, not so much in the sense of preaching a sermon, but in the sense of telling, in the sense of proclaiming, in the sense of declaring the good news of Jesus to all people. For most of us, that just means that as we go about our daily life, remember Matthew 28:19, go. The Greek actually says, as you go. It means as you're going about your daily life. So as we go to work, as we go to the grocery, as we go to the doctor's office, we are to be telling people about Jesus. We're to be sharing Jesus with them. That's our responsibility, every one of us. Most of us will probably not be called to leave everything and go to another country, even though some of us might be. God may be dealing with someone's heart right now. But most of us will never be called to leave everything behind and go to another country. But we are still all called to reach the world. We are called to reach Russia. We are called to reach China. We are called to reach Africa. We are called to reach South America. We are called to reach the world. So how can we do that? By praying for our missionaries, by sacrificially giving, because the missionaries can't go unless we send them, unless we support them, unless we enable them to go. And if we don't send them, the lost will not hear the gospel, so they cannot believe, so they cannot be saved. When we go, when we share the gospel, when we pray for the lost, when we give so our missionaries can go around the world, Christ is living through us, and we are joining God in his mission to redeem the world from their sin, so that as the heart of God is, none shall perish. A missionary to Africa told the story of an elderly woman who was reached with the gospel. And though she was blind and illiterate, she couldn't read or write, she wanted to share her newfound faith with others. So she asked the missionary for a copy of the Bible in French, because the particular country in Africa that she's from, that's one of their primary languages, is French. And when she got it, she asked him to underline John 3:16 in red and mark the page so she could find it easily, because remember, she can't read. The missionary was curious to see what she would do, so one day he followed her. And in the afternoon, just before school let out, she made her way to the front door of the schoolhouse. As the boys came out the school, when the dismissal bell rang, she would stop and ask, "Does anybody know how to read French?" And when one of the boys would say yes, you know, they would feel sorry for the elderly lady and want to help her out because they knew she couldn't read or couldn't see or saw that she was blind. And so she would say, "Can anybody read French? And so one of the boys would say yes. She would say, "Oh, can you help me read this?" And she would hold up the Bible with the verse marked in red. And after he would read the verse to her, she would say, "Do you know what this means?" And he would shake his head no, and she would start to tell him about Jesus and what Jesus had done for her. She led so many boys to Christ, and in the end, 24 of them became pastors. Hallelujah. A blind, illiterate, new Christian. What's keeping us from sharing our faith? What's our excuse? Hallelujah. Somebody, or really a bunch of somebodies, sent that missionary to reach that blind, illiterate old lady with the gospel. And as Christ began to live in her, she was moved with love for the unsaved and particularly for these boys in the school. And she had a passion to share Christ with them. And as I said, many of them were saved and 24 of them ended up in ministry. She had a lot of limitations and a lot of inabilities. But the little that she had, she gave it all to Jesus so that he could use her. And he indeed worked through her in a powerful way to accomplish his mission. Jesus gave his all so that we could be saved, so that all people could be saved. And if he's living in us, and if he's living through us, we will be giving our all, our time, our energy, our talents, our resources, our everything, all for Jesus, so that all might come to Jesus and be saved. Is Jesus living in you and through you? If you say yes, are you giving your all for Jesus? Are you living on mission? What are you doing to reach the lost every day? When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you led someone to Jesus? And what are you doing to make sure that people all around the world hear the gospel? When was the last time you prayed for a missionary? And how often do you give to support our missionaries? It's awful quiet in here, but that's okay. But you think on that for a moment, because we're going to have an altar call in a little bit. And of course, next week, we'll give you an opportunity to make faith promises to support our missionaries. But in order for Christ to live in us and through us, we first have to come to him in faith and repentance. Jesus died for you. Remember, we were all sinners. We were all under the power of the enemy, and we were all deserving of judgment. But Jesus died for us so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with him and eventually claim heaven as our home. Today, whether here in person or online, you have heard the good news. You've heard the gospel. You've been given the opportunity to know the way of salvation. Now it is up to you to choose to believe and to repent of your sins. And the word repent simply means to turn away from. We recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction. We've been living life our way without regard for God. And we know that heads towards destruction. And so we make a U-turn. We say, forgive me, God, and I turn to you in faith. Come and live inside of me. So the moment we believe and repent of our sins, Jesus says, we're born again. We're forgiven. We're saved. We're brought into relationship with him. Would you bow your heads with me if you're here today or you're listening online and you have never placed your faith in Jesus and repented of your sins, or maybe you did so several years ago and you've drifted away and you can feel the Spirit tugging at your heart saying, it's time to come back, it's time to come back. Then I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin and I ask you to forgive me. And I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. You just made the best decision ever. Amen. And if you just prayed that prayer in-house, if you would text I prayed to the number on the screen or online, type I prayed in the comments. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that's going to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to continue growing in your relationship with God, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. and we want to help you in your faith journey. So we want to send this book to you free of charge, but in order to do that, we need your email address. And so if you would just type, I prayed a little later today, you will get a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address, and we will send you this book so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. But in the meantime, as every Christian, we should be doing three things to grow in our relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. Thank Him for the good things in your life, because every good thing comes from Him. And then talk to Him about whatever problems, difficulties, decisions you're making, and ask His help at a very basic level. That's prayer. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible. If you don't have a printed Bible, you can download the U version app on your phone or on your tablet. It's free. You can read the Bible there as much as you want. It is always free. Start reading in 1 John, a little book in the New Testament that will explain to you who Jesus is, what He's done for us, so that we can understand the prayer we just prayed and what it means in our life. If you do those two things, and then get connected to a local church and start attending regularly and developing relationships in that church, you are going to grow spiritually. So every believer ought to be doing these three things on a regular basis. But once again, congratulations to any who just prayed that prayer. For all of us who have accepted Jesus, I want to ask you, are you giving your all for Jesus so that all may hear and be saved? Are you willing to make yourself available to Him today and say, like the blind old lady, maybe I don't have much to give, but all that I have and all that I am, it's all for You, Jesus. I give my all to You, Jesus, to join You in Your mission to save the world. If that's your heart's desire, I'd like to ask you just to come to this altar. You that are at home, just stand right where you are. But if that's your heart's desire to say, Lord, I give my all to You, I want You to use me, Lord God. I might not feel like I have much, but whatever I have, it's Yours, Lord. If that's your heart's desire, would you just make your way to this altar? And we're just going to pray a brief prayer, committing ourselves to the Lord, that He can use us to reach those that do not yet know Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So wonderful to see so many people responding to the call of God's Word and His Spirit. Some of you today at this altar, God may even call to go to the mission field. Amen. But some of us, He's just calling us to go to our workplace, our neighborhood, and just tell people in our life every day who Jesus is. Just lift your hands to Him and make your own prayer of commitment to say, Lord, I give myself to You. Use me. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for each and every person that is standing before You at this altar today. I thank You, Lord God, that they have an open heart to hear and respond to Your Word and Your Spirit. As we stand before You today, Lord God, we humbly say, we may not feel adequate. We may not feel like we know enough or that we are eloquent enough. But whatever we are, whatever we have, we give our life to You. We give our all to You. And we say, Jesus, use us every single day. Live through us, speak through us, love through us, touch lives through us, Lord God, so that others may come to know and serve You, so that others might be saved. We give ourselves to You today. Use us, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.